Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The ninth Sunday after Trinity presents to pastors a parable which is very hard sometimes, very difficult to teach and to understand. The best summary of the whole passage from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, the best summary comes from that last verse. Make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, that you may receive, they may receive you into eternal heavenly dwellings. This, paired with something Jesus says just a few verses later about you cannot serve both God and money, are key. This parable is meant to teach us to use the earthly things for eternal good. For the earthly things will fail, they will pass away, as Jesus says, but those heavenly things, they last into eternity. Why does Jesus call it unrighteous wealth? It could simply be unrighteous because of how often it is used unrighteously. After all, mammon itself is always demanding its worship through the selfish use of God's gifts of this life, which brings no shortage of sin. Greed is common to both rich and poor. Discontent, immorality, seeking fame or pleasure. These things, of course, need no further explanation other than what our epistle lesson today warns. The end of them is death. As the example of the Israelites, whom God took no pleasure in and overthrew in the wilderness, despite all of those miracles, the pillar of cloud and fire, the Red Sea, water from the rock, manna from heaven every morning to pick up from the ground, their stubborn and selfish rebellion and desire for the things of this earthly life were their demise. Now, if that sounds familiar as you examine your own life in relation to your stuff, your money, and the things it can buy or has bought, take heed. Such love of wealth leads to destruction, leads to being overthrown. Unrighteous wealth in this parable could also be just simply Jesus drawing a distinction between the things of this earthly life in comparison to the things of heaven, of eternal life. He's encouraging here his disciples to zero in upon that eternal thing with all that they do in this life. For the things of this life, the stuff, the money, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. They will not go with you into Christ's kingdom of righteousness, joy, and peace by the Holy Spirit. So what will make it into heaven? What will make it into such a kingdom? It won't be wealth or stuff, but people will be there. Righteous ones, whose righteousness was a gracious gift from God by trusting in Christ for their salvation. People. Like stuff, you have people all around you in this life as well. The stuff won't and can't make it into the kingdom, but the people you have around you can. They are made to be eternal, with God's own deepest desire that they come to the knowledge of salvation by believing in Jesus. That these people all around us stand in all kinds of different need. These people then can be recipients of all kinds of varied blessings and help in this life if we were shrewd enough about eternity to think of them rather than our stuff, which will fail That is a shrewdness. It requires us to open our eyes to see those people, to care enough to find out their need, and then to open our own hearts to their needs in order to bless them with whatever God has given us to use to bless them. Hint, it's your unrighteous wealth. That's what Christ teaches us today. The manager was not praised for being dishonest. He was not praised for his selfish use of his position to selfishly gain so-called friends. No, his shrewdness was praised. His shrewdness saw all that was coming when the management would be taken away from him and worked with everything in the present, even writing off the books, so to speak, with an eye on his own future. The funds of the rich man would not last long for this manager, and so he built something that would last: friendships with people. Now, Christian shrewdness looks to the future, heaven, the resurrection, eternal life. And Christian shrewdness then looks upon everything in this present in view of that future reality. That just as the manager shrewdly used what wasn't his to benefit others, so also a Christian will use that which isn't really his own, for all that we have comes from God. But a Christian will use that to help others. Yet the reality of this kind of shrewdness is that Jesus himself even comments that the sons of this world are better at this shrewdness than the sons of light. Christians, you and me. The worldly among us are so good at being shrewd, using the goods of this life for their future plans. And they do it for a future that will fall apart on the last. So why aren't Christians who possess an eternal future as shrewd? The wealth that you have from God will not be in the kingdom. There will be no smartphones, no computers, no big screen TVs, no side-by-sides, no boats, no motorcycles, no trucks or classic cars, no home, no vacation home, no other quote-unquote toy that we can think of, no stock portfolio, no investment, no checking account or savings either. There will be no stash of cash. None of that will enter the kingdom. As Job declares, and as he declares even to us today, you will leave this world exactly as you came into it, naked and having nothing, because you can't take it with you. Scriptures do describe what will be there in heaven, that on the last day, at the great feast, that you will be surrounded by people of all tribes and nations. People you knew in this life will be there, whose way crossed across yours at some point or as the time that the Lord made it happen. That those people who you look upon in this life with your own eyes, they'll be there. That's the future that Jesus teaches us about. And that is the time then of being welcome into these heavenly dwellings he speaks of. So how do you invest in that future? By loving the people in your life. From household to congregation to even the strangers you stumble across in this life. That you are to love them. You are to share with them. You are to take notice of their need and take care of them with what God has given you to use, unrighteous and earthly as it might be. That you are to take care of them for the sake of the eternal treasure that is yet to come. I need for a moment to pause on this and make it very personal for you. This is not just talking about helping some strangers as you are able, especially those across the world and so forth. But this means taking care first and foremost of those in your household, your family. That are you, as you sit down and think about how your last week went, are you ordering your household days and your household nights around heavenly and eternal futures? Or just the earthly future? Are you afraid of embarrassing yourself, of being too religious in front of other family or friends? Because I can tell you that at the last, those people will not be embarrassed of you if you were shrewd today about their future. So make the calls. Write the letters, apologize, confess, love them, share with them, do the work, even if it's hard. For whatever it is, the earthly stuff is going to fail. And what will last is that person that you are thinking of right now. And within this congregation, of which God has knit you together as one congregation, He's made you a part. Do good unto your brothers and your sisters. Share with them. Show them love. Care for them and their needs. Take note of each other and love each other. Be so consumed by wanting all to reach their eternal dwelling place that the earthly stuff and all of its cares just don't compare. Have shrewdness with regard to eternity. You see, people you know will be the ones who will throw their arms around you at the last in the heavenly kingdom. Your stuff won't, but people will. For if you are shrewd, you will have used these earthly wealth to benefit of them, for their good. And that such selfless love, especially at a time when so much mammon and wealth is worshipped, is a witness to something greater, something truly lasting. You see, Jesus is the shrewdest of all in regards to eternity. That Jesus used everything he had from the Father to gain heavenly ground for sinners. That he is the one who through the cross prepared the heavenly dwellings for those people who will live eternally in them. For he gave up everything. His rightful use of his divine authority so he could be your substitute. Giving up his heavenly throne for a time to live in a womb, a manger, a house, on boats, at friends' houses, and finally in Jewish and Roman jails, until being hung out to die on the cross itself, giving up his honor and his blessedness to become a curse for us. And not just giving up, but Jesus was so consumed out of his divine desire for your salvation that he even took upon himself your sins, your debts, your unrighteousness. And to cancel out all of this sin and unrighteousness and transgression, he shed his blood, shrewdly giving life itself up that you would not die but live. There is nothing more shrewd than the work of Jesus for the sake of your heavenly future. For his shrewdness, using everything he had selflessly for sinners' sakes, gained for the kingdom of heaven, the true treasure of heaven. It's not stuff. It's the redeemed, the baptized who believe. Let this mind be among you, this heavenly and holy and Christ-like mind. And may you learn and may you practice heavenly shrewdness with the things of this earthly life for the sake of the life to come. And for all those times when your mind has been so earthly and mammonly focused that your actions towards others followed suit in selfish greed or selfish care for only you, or for disregard of anything or anyone that wasn't you or beneficial to you. This day Christ continues to give for your eternal future. You've heard the absolution, that word of forgiveness. And this supper, this Lord's supper, Christ's body and blood, he never stops giving out that which is his for the sake of your heavenly future. That by this meal, he forgives you. And on top of that, he strengthens your faith to be more heavenly minded, and he strengthens your love, that you would look differently upon all those people that he puts around you in this life, and that you would act differently as well. That the only life worth living is that of faithful service to the neighbor. Because the end of such a life of faith and love is the joyful welcome home to the Father's house, surrounded by those same people. Take upon yourselves, as Christ's redeemed people, the shrewdness that Christ commends. Remember what really lasts, and what you can take with you, and who will await you on the last day. Use the stuff that doesn't matter to bless the people that do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.